Well, I think Secretary Gates has sort of looked at the numbers and realized that without, 2 to 3% annual growth in the defense budget, the military is going to be in serious trouble. And with the current economic climate, I think he realizes that getting 3% growth in the defense budget is unlikely to happen.
And I mean, pretty strong words. He said the gusher has been turned off and it will stay off for a good period of time. And it's almost ironic that he was speaking out at the Eisenhower Presidential Library, because as I was reading his speech, it almost had harkings back to that military-industrial complex kind of speech.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's how he saw it. And he sees this not as, you can look at 2 to 3% of the Pentagon bureaucracy and say, well, that's a small effort.
Yeah.
But he really sees this as akin to that sort of statement, that this is a sort of massive, major rethinking of how the Pentagon works. It's interesting to note they're both Kansans, and I think, Secretary Gates feels a real affinity towards Eisenhower.
But you note in your story, and I mean, this isn't the first war on DOD bureaucracy that's taken place, is it?
No, I think probably the first Secretary of War may have declared war on bureaucracy, I'm guessing. I don't know that for a fact,
right.
But it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, no, it's something that people do, that every defense secretary does. I mean, I've been covering the Pentagon for 10 years, and they all have this moment, it seems like, a few years in, where they say, gosh, this is crazy. I will say that the one thing that might be different about Secretary Gates is that he has proven himself to be a very effective defense secretary. He really understands and knows a lot about how big bureaucracies work by virtue of the fact that he spent his entire career working in them. So not to sound like, a total suck-up, but
right.
If anybody can do it, maybe him.
Although I remember, and Donald Rumsfeld came into his tenure and everyone said, this is he was a defense secretary long ago. He now has learned so much more experience, and it was sort of essential to his transformation idea. And when all was said and done, not sure how much was accomplished.
Yeah, and I think I will say one thing for comparing Gates and Rumsfeld, I think you're right that they both kind of looked at this.
Very different personalities there.
They are. And Gates has really been effective in ways that Rumsfeld wasn't. I mean, Rumsfeld tended to be a lot of bark and not a lot of bite. When people didn't do what he wanted, a small example is he tended not to fire people. Gates, if you're not doing what he wants and you're not delivering what he's asking for, he has shown that he will replace you in a heartbeat.
Mm.
And that was something that's not true of Secretary Rumsfeld.
Rumsfeld, a lot of bark, but not much bite. Secretary Gates, a lot less bark, but my goodness, there's a bite there.
That's true. I mean, it's very, very calm and very sort of ruthless and efficient. So, I think he's proven to be significantly more adept at sort of managing bureaucracies than Rumsfeld. Mm. And a couple years back in 2009, we were all saying he's never going to, get all these weapons cuts that he was pushing through the system. But it turns out he got virtually all of them.
And yet gurgling around, particularly through a lot of the defense contractors, was, oh, my goodness, what does this mean for me? And as you pointed out in your story, there's a lot of buildings in and around the Pentagon, big buildings that house those defense contractors. Do folks have a sense as to what this might mean for those who are making a living off of selling to the Pentagon?
Well, I think if your job is sort of contracting with the Pentagon, particularly sort of administrative and bureaucratic sort of functions, I'd be worried, to be frank.
Hmm.
I think big weapon systems, those are harder to sort of cut and change. But, if you have one of these sort of service contracts that have grown up in the last decade or so, as the military sort of outsourced more of this, I would be a little concerned, because that's clearly what Gates is targeting. And I think he'd like to see a lot of those functions returned to the Department of Defense rather than done by contractors.
So do we have any indication yet how this war on bureaucracy, for lack of a better term, my word's not his, how this actually happens? How does he actually implement it?
Oh, I think he calls up all the services and says, look, you got to cut 3%, which I think he's done, gone to all the service chiefs. And, the good news is you cut 3%, you get to keep every penny that you cut and plow it back into things that you care about, like, taking care of soldiers and weapons programs. But, you know, you don't have a choice in the matter.
And this is the infamous tooth-to-tail kind of equation that happens. We're spending too much on the back-end systems, and that means we can't spend money on the stuff that is actually mission-critical.
Correct, right. It was done for reasonable reasons, and I was talking with a senior Army official recently who was saying he thought this was going to be very hard, because one of the reasons the Army has come to depend so heavily on contractors, particularly for administrative functions that they used to do, is that, you know, they pushed really hard to get as many of their uniformed military folks into the sort of the fighting force and out of the sort of the back office force. So, you know, you got to do those back office functions. So to compensate, they contracted them out. So it's going to be tough to undo those contracts without also pulling soldiers and officers off the line, which is something they don't want to do.
And your colleague actually reported that another challenge that they've had is it's been difficult, if not impossible, to cut personnel costs. And Secretary Gates has actually said, hey, stop raising pay among DOD employees quite so aggressively.
Yeah, I mean, it's pay, and then the other thing, as he said, healthcare is eating us alive, was the exact quote. You know, part of that is that the benefits have been made more and more generous. And, you know, unlike most of us, the DOD soldiers and sailors and airmen haven't seen a premium increase in, I think, 15 years.
So how, as somebody who watches this and has been watching this, how will people measure success as whether he's, I mean, is it just end up being, does he get near that $10 to $15 billion number?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing we'll be looking to is, you know, how much does the defense budget grow next year? I mean, if it continues to grow 3% a year, I mean, that's a heavy indication that he's failed.
Yeah.
And I think his concern is that the DOD defense budget can't continue to grow that way without, you know, potentially bankrupting the country over time. I mean, that's the resonance with Eisenhower there.
And you've been covering this for a long time to know that there's the bureaucracy kicks into action and people just say, well, you know, drag their feet and say, you know, this guy will eventually move on. How much does that become an issue as he tries to press forward?
It becomes an issue with Secretary Gates, certainly, because, you know, it's pretty clear that he is not in this for the super long haul at this point. You know, he told President Obama last December that he'd stay on for another year, which would put him through the end of this year. You know, what's that, about 7 or 8 more months?
Yeah.
You know, you could see he was pretty fired up about the speech, and you could kind of hear in his voice that if success meant his staying around longer, I got the sense that that's what he would do. But, you know, that's not based on any inside information. That's just based on listening to the guy talk.